All right, let's open our Bibles, if you would, please. We're in the book of, We're in Psalm chapter number 39 tonight, Psalm 39. And at this time, we got a nursery full of kids. We've got Patch Club. I think last week we had 30 kids in the Patch Club. We've got a Spanish service going on. By the way, we swore in a brand new Spanish nursery worker tonight. And a lady been coming to our church, and she ended up accepting the Lord. Kevin Nguyen, our missionary in Mexico City, started a church in Mexico, and that church reached her. Isn't that amazing? And so that's great. It's good to have some guests here tonight. Let me see. I'm just going to look and just guess. You look like an Ethan, and you look like a Ruby. Is that right? Hey, pastor's pretty good at this, huh? All right. This is Kathy's son and fiance. Is that right? Uh-oh. Maybe fiance, huh? Okay. He's saying, yeah. She's saying, well, we'll see how it works out. Okay. I'm just kidding. We're glad you're here. Welcome. Long drive. Man, y'all just barely made it. I bet y'all are beat. I'm going to have to hit the pulpit and just keep you awake, huh? It's been a long day. That's great. Who had a long day? Just long day? Let's complain a little bit. It's been a long day. All right. You know, it's sad when like the five-year-old kids raise their hand. It's been a tough week. You know, we didn't know if we were watching The Incredibles or Finding Nemo. You know, it's just been a tough week. And so we're in the book of Psalms just for a little while tonight. I think we'll be out right on time. And the subject this evening, we've been talking about combating lies, trying to get the lies we've read or been told out of our minds. But we're going to talk about using music for your advantage. Using music for your advantage. And so in Psalm chapter 39, and never feel embarrassed if you're new at church or the Christian life and you can't find these verses, it's fine. And up in heaven, if you don't get them all right, you're still in heaven. Aren't you glad? And if you can't pronounce all the names of the people in the Bible or the places, it's okay too. And I can't. I still can't. But here we are. We're going to look at this passage for a moment. And it's in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter number 39. And of course, this is David who God is using to write this. David is the one that served God his entire life. So God lets us see his life when he's a youth, a teenager. He's 17. And we see that David falls in love when he's 17 with the Lord. And God is the greatest thing in David's life. And David is called by God. God only called one person this, the man after God's own heart. So out of billions of people on the planet, God looked and saw this shepherd boy and said, you feel about things how I feel about things. Amen. I think it was Emerson, or one of these famous poets, said, love is this. A man's looking this way at something. Then a woman looks this way at something. And one of them says, you too? It's kind of like, you enjoy this too? Oh, amen. And so God looked at David and says, you feel about things. Oh, amen. How I do, too. Amen. Amen. That's good. And so that's a whole message on why David was a man after God's own heart. But God does use him to write the book of Psalms. And it starts with a P. The P is silent, Psalms. It turns out to be the Hebrew songbook. So many of the songs that God's people in the Bible would sing come from these words. So they're inspired. God has given these words to David. But look at just this one verse here as we get started in Psalm 39 and verse 3. He says, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. So David is simply saying, he said, while I was in the word muse, we don't use it much. We do have parks that are called amusement parks. Ah means no. Muse means think, no think. So that means when you get on those crazy roller coasters, you're not thinking. That's what that means. I think it was Tom Brady this week in the news. He was at Disneyland or somewhere, and his kids tricked him. Here's this billionaire. They tricked him into going on the drop zone. And so, Tower of Terror. And so, you know, you get on and it just drops. And so you're not thinking if you like those rides. That's what I'm saying. When I was young, I loved those rides. When you get old, it's like, are you out of your mind? Yes, amen to that. Papa, you going on that roller coaster? Nope, not as long as I have a brain, I'm not. And so, but David is saying, while I was musing, while I was thinking, the fire burned. The root word of muse, it's the root of the word music. Muse, music, to think. So why wouldn't God be interested in music? It affects how we think.
That's right.
How we think. Amen. And God says, my thoughts are not as your thoughts. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was in prison when he spoke up against Hitler. They imprisoned him. He said, socialism is wrong, communism is wrong, and they did everything but kill him. And someone asked him, they thought he was a great philosopher. They said, so what's the next generation in America going to be like? And Solzhenitsyn said, tell me what they're thinking today, and I'll tell you how they'll be living tomorrow. So our thinking always affects our actions. Okay, let's find out quickly. And I'm giving a kind of a long introduction here. You ever been on one of those, maybe at Universal Studios, Disneyland, one of these places where they had the 360-degree reality room, where they've got 64 cameras and they videoed parades, or maybe someone skydiving, and all you do is just hang on to the rail and you look in front of you and you're marching, you know, by Parliament, and maybe you look to the right, and then there's the Churchill Downs horse racing, and wherever you turn around, you're a part of it. And soon you'll see, as the hot air balloon is leaning, you're leaning. And it's just a video. So what you're seeing is affecting you. What you're thinking is affecting you. And so that's why it's so important we can use music as a power in our lives to help us. To help us. And with that being said, let's have a brief prayer. There's an answer sheet if you need it. And if you didn't get one, I apologize. Heavenly Father, bless this brief time that we have. I know music is very important to you. We did not come up with it. You did. And there'll be music for all eternity, forever. I pray you'd help us now in this brief lesson that would see its power and how to use it to help us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not a music expert. I have been around music my entire life, not just the radio, not just concerts, but actually either playing it or being around it. My brother had his own band, Christian band. It was called Revolution, you know, just a very biblical name, Revolution. And in the day, they bought a bus, they toured, and that's what the groups did. You know, you'd see their tour groups. They cut 3 albums. We always had instruments in our house. In his little bedroom was a set of drums with a double bass. And he had the Zildjian cymbals. Are you listening, Karen? The Speed King pedal, he had that. And the full set of drums. And so our neighbors loved us. They loved us when we left the house. And he was coming home with a different instrument every week. He'd have a tuba, he'd have a clarinet, he'd have a trumpet. He was trying to learn all the instruments because he wanted to be a band director, wanted to be a high school band director and teach all the instruments. Well, he became a drummer, so I followed his little footsteps. So 5 years, so that's all of junior high, that's all of high school. I played drums. We had our own trap set. These hands have played in Mardi Gras. 8 miles in New Orleans, marching behind the horses. So when a drummer drops his drumstick, Oft times you did not want it back. And so we had concert season. I played kettle drums or timpanis. I played a couple times when I was in college. So I've always been around that. I learned to read music in junior high school. When I came here, I ended up leading the choir for probably 20, 25 years. So I can read music. I feel like I have a feel for it. And so music is such a big, big part of our lives. A big part. In the notes here, it's the bridge. It's the bridge that leads us back and forth to and from the world. It's a bridge. So think of your music for a moment. You know, we'd all have different tastes. Some of you would be real, real, real conservative, and it would be gospel and hymns and this and that. Some of you would maybe be over here, be more contemporary. Some of you maybe, no, it's just R&B and other. No, no, I'm ancient. You know, it's jazz. And others, it'd be maybe just rock, or it'd be acid rock, or it'd be. Some of you are writing all this down. I hadn't heard of half of these. I can't wait. And maybe it'd be punk rock, or it'd be this or that, this. Some of you would be maybe this extreme where they're biting heads of bats off and blood spewing out on the audience. Who knows? So there's a lot of tastes here. So here's the question. Whatever music we listen to or you listen to, it affects your thinking.
Right, amen.
So it's either a bridge away from God, or it's a bridge closer to God.
Amen.
It cannot be neutral. And it's interesting, those of you that's kind of been raised in church, when people start slipping away from God, I guarantee you, a lot of times their music changes. Their music changes. Stuff they wouldn't normally listen to, now they are. Whether they're escaping, and it's, okay, let me just give you a few more things here. Stop for just a moment. We're known as the wine capital of the world here, so we have grapes. Have you noticed they're not singular on the vines? Oh, there's a grape. Oh, there's a big one. Oh, there's a grape. Oh, here's another one. No, they hang in bunches. You know, some habits hang in bunches. You ever notice? Okay, you help me, and I know there's always exceptions. Let's say if you're, okay, let's just say, pick a number. Let's say you're 25, single. You're bored out of your mind. You want to go to a party. You're not a Christian. You just want to go to a party and just live it up. And just, I mean, come home 5 in the morning. I mean, have a great time. But it's not a Christian party. You know, they're not going to have the Bible. Probably they will not invite me to speak. They won't have a church pianist there. I mean, it's a party, and it's going to be 500 people there. Now, not always. What will be some of the things that'll be on that bunch of grapes? What'll be some of the things that'll probably be there? And you're not confessing if you say something. You know, we're not going to pick on you.
Smoking.
Okay, probably some smoking. Drinking. Smoking what? Okay, maybe cigarettes. Maybe pot. Okay, what else would probably be there? And one person can't give all the answers. Okay, think there may be alcohol at a party. Okay, so now there's alcohol. Okay, there's some smoking.
Music.
Would it be probably our choir music? Probably not, huh? Okay, so it's going to be music playing. What else might be there? Food. Get out of here. Parties. Okay. Probably some profanity. Probably there's going to be someone cuss. Whether maybe be a fight. I mean, if it's 500 people there, hey, that's my girl. I brought her. Yeah, I know. But she's coming back with me. And you know, it could be. I doubt any of you have ever seen a fight at a party. I doubt you've ever seen one. Okay. Well, we're not going very good on this. Well, anyway. But I'm just saying, a lot of times, it just kind of all hangs together, doesn't it? Mom, I was shocked. I went to such and such concert and someone had a joint there. I am shocked. Really? It just kind of hangs together. Okay, so that's part of it. So in Ephesians 5, and I must hasten, the Bible says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We mentioned some of that last week. Example, how do you identify music that will help you or hurt you? Several things. So just ask yourself here. We're not going to get real specific this evening. Words affect us. What are the words? Well, I mean, how about this? It's a miracle if you can understand some of the words. Sometimes I walk into a restaurant and they'll have something playing. You know, I'm so old, they had words. Dewey, you remember when music had words? Do you remember that? But sometimes I'll be in a restaurant and I'll just, hey, you know, I get the waiter to come, I'll say, that's my favorite song. And you can't understand a word. I mean, not a word. And so, examine the words quickly. What else? Who is it focused on? The music. Who is it focused on? In one of the blanks, since God made music, he wants our music focused on him. Amen. Most music is focused on us. Here's a little quote. I want to give you this quickly. This is a quote from Marilyn Manson, the shock and awe rocker. And I know he's probably been has been for 50 years or so. But very well known for his involvement in Satanism, one of the fringe evil performers. They have blamed the Columbine shootings on Marilyn Manson and his music, saying that they were heavily listening to his music. He's been known to use an American flag as toilet paper while performing, engaging in immorality on the platform, using God-hating lyrics. Here's what he says. I'm very much into philosophy. A lot of different philosophers I've read over the years, like Darwin, evolution, fraud, and Anton LaVey, the pastor of the Church of Satan in San Francisco. He said, so I got to meet him and talk to him about his ideas. He said, Satanism is sensationalized and kind of misunderstood. A lot of people associate it with worshiping the devil and things like that, but it's really a philosophy about individuality and self-preservation. Quote, here he is. It's about, you know, being your own God. So, as you examine music to see, what is it making you think? Look at the words. Who's it focused on? Is it worldly? Is it godly? Number four, does it promote rebellion or obedience? Son, I want you to listen to 8 hours of this music. It's going to make you obey your parents better. Much music is not promoting obedience to parents. Here's another one. What is the lifestyle of the performer? How do they live? You say, well, you know, I don't care who they are and how they live, but somehow it's going to come out in their words. Next, is the music, lifestyle, and words consistent? And then does it pass the Philippians 4:8 test? Is it true? Is what they're saying in the song, is it true? Because Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now quickly here, the song does attract. Look over in Psalm chapter 40 just for a second. The song attracts, and we mentioned this last week, but notice in Psalm verse 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently on the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. What he's saying there, Paul says, When Jesus Christ saves someone's soul, he puts something in us we never had before, a song. He puts something in us that makes us want to sing about him. Anyone that's ever been rescued by someone, someone's been a hero and saved their life, I guarantee you, they want to know all they can about that hero. And so that's what the Lord does here. It was John Wesley was on a ship. They called it a windjammer in 1735. He was on this ship. He was not a Christian. They hit all these waves and just huge waves and fearful. It broke the mast in two and it split and people were screaming, except for a group of 26 Germans that were Moravians. Very, very, very good Christians. They were singing at the top of their lungs. They didn't miss a note. And Wesley looked and he says, "Aren't you afraid?" They said, "No, we have the Lord." And they got through that storm. Wesley was so impressed that they had something he didn't have. He went to a Moravian church when he got off that ship and trusted Christ as his Savior. And John Wesley became the founder of the Methodist Church, where millions and millions have accepted the Lord in their heart. And what was the difference? He saw someone sing. Amen. He didn't just hear it. He saw that they had something he didn't have. And then if you'll look over in Acts for a moment, I'm just trying to lay the foundation, and then I'll give you several real practical things. We'll be out right on time. But Acts chapter 16, I love this chapter. One of my favorites in the Bible. So Paul is preaching. His friend Silas is with him. It's not popular to talk about Jesus. So now they've ripped their shirts off of them in the town square. They've laid them down, publicly flogged them with whips. They've beaten them. They are now bleeding. They've got stripes across their back. They're imprisoned. They're put in stocks. Their hands through the holes. Their feet through the holes. They're in the dungeon. Notice what it says in Acts 16:24. "Who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." What would you do? You've just been beaten for being a Christian. You're bleeding. No one knows where you are. Now you've been tortured in the stocks. What would you do? What would be your natural action? Verse 25, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." You say, "Pastor, when does God give you a song?" Usually in the dark times of your life. You check out some of the hymns. Some of them are called Old Negro Spirituals. You know who they were written by? The slaves. Sojourner Truth. And some of those people, Harriet Tubman, some of them that we know famously, they wrote those songs at the darkest times of their life. Even though they were slaves, God had still put a song in their heart. Amen. And people looked and says, "How can you sing?" And sometimes that's what God does. He sends us into dark valleys. And then somehow there's a song that comes out of our heart. And people look and say, "How can you sing at a time like this?" It attracts people. You say, "Well, what happened?" The jailer looked at them and says, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Look, I beat you and you're singing. What do you have that I don't have?" And a church got started there because of that. The song attracts. Let me just give you the blanks. We got to get out of here. Matthew 26:20, the night before Jesus was crucified on the cross. Guess what his last action was with his disciples? He said, "Let's sing a hymn." The Savior, the night he's about to be arrested and then crucified the next morning, sang a hymn. In Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says, Jesus is singing in the midst of the church. You do know he's in more places at once, right? You know, he is omnipresent. God can be everywhere at once. So he's on the throne up in heaven. He's running the universe. But anytime a church gathers together and gets ready to sing, he's right in the middle and he's singing too. Amen. I love it. Then in Zephaniah, kind of a hard place to find it, but I do want to read it to you. Zephaniah chapter 3. Let me give you this little verse, and here's what it says. Zephaniah, here it is, chapter 3 and verse 17. He will joy over thee with singing. What's that mean? God sings. He sings when he sees us. He joys over us. Hey, here's Melanie and Jonathan. Just had that beautiful little baby. Looks just like her grandfather. That's me. But beautiful baby. I guarantee you, Melanie's already sung to that baby. Good little girls, don't cry, 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 cry. I wonder if she sang, Jesus loves the little children, all the children. Deep and wide. I don't know what song she's been singing, but I guarantee you she has sung to that child already. Amen. And Jesus, who died for us and rose again, he loves to sing when he's around us. Amen. It'll be one of our activities up in heaven. Amen. Doesn't mean you have to karaoke and sing a solo. Maybe you can't hit a note up there. You'll hit all the notes. And you'll know all the words. And you get to sing looking at him. The one with the nail print hands that loved you and cares for you and guided you all through your life. You'll get to sing a song to him. It's an amazing thought. An amazing thought. Quickly here. Oh, it's Lamentations 3:63. Get this. He says, I am their music. So God looks down at his people and says, oh, I know what kind of music you have. It's about me, right? I am what you're singing about, right? That's what God's wondering. I am your music. Surely you're singing about me. And then all of us Christians, we get real quiet. No, I don't think. But we ought to. This old world, much of the music, not all, is about pain and sadness and hurt. I always like that quote. Someone says, you know what you get when you play an album, LP, those ancient things? When you play a country and western album backwards, you know what you get? You get back your truck, you get back your girlfriend, you get back your dog, you get back your job. Okay, not real funny. Okay, let's forget it. I want to give you two more verses here. In 2 Kings, in chapter number 3, we see something else God's singing does for us. 2 Kings chapter 3. So there is a, give me 5 minutes. 2 Kings chapter 3, here's what he says. They're wanting to understand God's word. And so in chapter 3 and in verse number 14. And Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand. He says, verse 15, now bring me a minstrel, a musical instrument. And it came to pass when the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. So what's he saying here? He's saying music opens our heart to God's word. That's why on Sunday morning we'll have the choir sing. You know why the choir? It's like a battering ram knocking down crusty hearts, hard hearts, hearts that are distracted, hurting hearts, and then there's a special, then there's a congregational. It is getting all that stuff out of the way, making the soil tender, so then this word, like seed, can be planted. Amen. Music service is not filler. Well, I just come to hear the Bible. No. We ought to be listening to the Word of God. Amen. And then let's look just for a moment in Exodus 32. Music is worship. It is worship. And the word worship means ascribe worth to. It shows what we think is important. I want to just show you what happened here. Moses, here's the story. Moses goes up to this mountain. He's going to get the 10, I can't remember what they're called. 10 commandments. He's going to get the Ten Commandments. They're on two tables of stone. God writes them with his finger. I would love to have seen that. And he writes up Charlton Heston, goes from black hair to white hair. It's a great movie. So Moses is coming down. He's got a helper with him named Joshua. And notice this passage, chapter 32 of Exodus. Verse 15, Moses turned. He's coming down. Verse 17, and when Joshua heard the noise, and you may want to circle that word, noise of the people. What noise? The people are in the valley. They're coming down from the mountain, just him and Joshua. He said, I hear a noise as they shouted. So there's noise. They're yelling. And Joshua said, there is a noise of war in the camp. Hey, there's a battle going on. So it sounded like a war, yelling and noise. Verse 18, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. It's not a battle. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing. Do I hear? Hear that? So from a distance, Joshua says, what is that? They're yelling. They're screaming. They're fighting. It sounds violent. Sounds like a riot. And as they get closer, he says, no, they're singing. Woodstock. Bottle Rock. What is that noise? But notice the activity going on, verse 19. It came to pass, as soon as he came nigh to the camp, he saw the calf. They were worshiping an idol. They had seen this done when they were in Egypt. Now they've been out of Egypt 6 months or so, and they're carrying what they learned in Egypt with them. All sorts of festivals to Bacchus, the god of wine, to many other of these wicked false gods. So here it is. They're singing, they're dancing, and then notice in verse 25, Moses saw the people were naked. See some of these grapes hanging together? They were singing. But it wasn't to the Lord. Amen. Sounded like violence, noise, a war, a riot. Now they're taking their clothes off. Now they're bowing down to something beside God. Moses got so angry, he threw the tables of stone down. He was the most wicked man in the Bible, broke all Ten Commandments at once. Threw the tables of stone down, ground them up, made the people drink it. Boy, he was mad. He took the idol, ground it, and slammed it. God was very upset with these people. They should have been worshiping him, but they were worshiping a false god. Let me conclude with this just real quick here, and then we're finished. Benefit of godly music, it gives you victory. And then last, it prevents depression. Amen. When we were going through COVID for, what was it, 25 years, 30 years? It seemed like it, didn't it? I got so upset wearing those masks. You know why some of it was sad? You could never see anybody smile for like 3 years. You never knew if people were glad to see you. Hey, how you doing? Fine. Mask. I played music all the time. I had gospel music playing. He's still on the throne. God still loves me. There is a heaven. This is not all. Thank you for the valley. I listened to that nonstop. Every time I got in the morning, I turned it on. Why? I needed it. I was getting depressed. When my wife was in the hospital, news to you guys that are new, 80 days, 21 days ICU, the doctors would never tell me good news. None. Doc, all I want to know, is she going to turn the corner? Is she going to make it? She's very sick. She is extremely sick. And her numbers, no, just tell me, am I taking her home or not? We cannot say for sure. I had music playing all the time. You know why? He is my strength and song. The right kind of music with the right kind of words, it strengthens you and gets you through the toughest times. The Bible says, and I'm finished. Look, the Bible's closed. When King Saul had this evil spirit, I think of depression that came upon him. David took the harp and played it. And the Bible says, and the evil spirit departed from him. Depression cannot hang around the right kind of powerful music. So it's a bridge. That's what we said. It's either bringing you closer to the Lord, more joy, more victory, more living right, more doing the things you ought to do, more responsible, or it's bringing you the other direction. And all of us have to decide and look honestly and say, what is what I'm listening to? How is that affecting me? Because you can do what you want to do. And you can listen to what you want to listen to. It's America. But all I know is certain kind of music strengthens me. And I'm going to tap into it because I need some strength.